606.
Good evening and welcome to Countdown to 606, the exam programme on RTE2FM that is offering to hold your hand and mop your fevered brow right through the Leaving and Junior Cert exam period. I'm Evelyn O'Rourke. I'll be joined in studio by Michael Doran to do geography. Interesting year for the subject, as this is a relatively new course. We've only had 1 year of papers so far. And sitting beside him will be Terry Flanagan for biology. The course, the biology course, people see it as a vast course. Some people think it's practical. I would argue there's more theory hidden underneath all that practicality.
What they've actually done is when they revised the course, they just put in 22 experiments. They call them mandatory activities or mandatory experiments. And this time...
That's Section C, is it?
That's Section B. It's the middle section. And the students now have to perform the experiments themselves. Whereas what a lot of us as teachers, we could only really do demonstrations. So you do a demonstration a week or two demonstrations a week, and the kids didn't get the hands-on experience. And remember, science is a hands-on subject. You want to get out there and get your hands dirty. You want to be getting outside in the field, so to speak. So there are now 22 experiments. They're called mandatory activities and they have to do it. So any of you listening there, you should have your books, your nature study notebooks, you should have your 22 experiments in them. And Section B, that's part of the course. On the exam, you will have dedicated three questions from which you must answer two, worth 60 marks out of the 400. I think that equates to about 15%. Now, you're supposed to have done it. And when you're answering those questions, be aware that there's two parts. There's part A and part B. Part A is worth 6 marks. Part B is worth 24 marks. That's giving you a total of 30. The part A for the 6 marks is generally the kind of theory of the experiment that they're going to talk about. And part B will be on the experiment. And when you're answering that question, think about the day you did that experiment in the lab, because that's the way the question is going to be geared. It's going to be geared at not the theory, but, you know, what
tell
colour?
The story of that experiment.
Or when you did, if I take some examples, any of the listening who are familiar with it, in the experiment with the yeast, the leaf yeast moulds, what colour were the colonies? Now, if you hadn't done that experiment, you wouldn't know what colour they were. And the colour was pink. And anyone who did the experiment would know exactly that they were pink. Or if you're making a slide and you're putting your cover slip down on the prepared slide when it's made, say it's a section or a skin section or cheek section or something like that, how did you put the cover slip down onto the slide? Think back. How did you do it that day? Remember, you lowered it at an angle. Why did you lower it at an angle? So there was no bubbles, no air bubbles that would appear like big black footballs on it. Now, if you haven't done that experiment, you wouldn't know how to answer. So the questions that are going to be asked in Section B, think back to the day you did the experiment. That's most important for you.
606.
OK, well, let's get down to the real business then. Terry, you started to talk a little bit there about Section B, but let's go back then to the start, really. Let's get an overall look at this paper, starting with the higher level in terms of timing and the kind of time structure students should have in their mind when they approach this paper.
OK, well, the exam is a 3-hour exam. There are three sections in it, Section A, Section B and Section C. And really, all students should be very, very familiar with this before they go into the exam. And they are. I know they are. And they've already done the mock exam. But just a quick synopsis. Section A are the short questions. You must answer on the page that's provided. That's the first thing.
So it's not your answer book here?
No, not here.
Can you make notes on an answer book? Is there an answer book relevant
to you
at all?
Yes, you can, but you must hand up everything that you've written. That's fair enough. You can write in the back page. Every page will be corrected on the exam booklet anyway. So if you're writing on the back page, an examiner will see it anyway. It will be marked.
And do you, because you have confessed you've corrected, do you really, really, really look at the extra work that people
absolutely
hand up?
Absolutely.
That's a definite.
That is a definite.
I sometimes wonder if that's a bit of a line to
Let me just give you an example too. Students will do the set number of questions. Say you have to do your 4 questions and you're finished and you have some time left. I would say to students, don't leave the exam. Because if you leave the exam and you walk out, you can't get any more marks. But if you you know, psychologically, a lot of students feel, you know, I'm finished the exam. Way, that's great. And have a look at an extra question. And they look at it in a different kind of way. They feel more relaxed and they do an extra question. Believe it or not, an awful lot of students do better in the extra question than they would have done in their first 3 or 4 questions. And a number of students will actually come up in the exam because of that. So don't leave the exam hall. It's really, really hard, as you and I know. And we've not only been to school, we've been to college and that, and we've done lots and lots of exams. And it's really very hard to stay in there till the very, very end. But do it. Persevere. do it.
And you're confirming that if you do offer a second option on a question, or if you do an extra question like that, you as the examiner will go to the higher mark and give the student that higher mark.
Absolutely, yeah. I was going to go back to Section A.
Sorry,
in Section A, you have to answer 5 questions out of 6. They're short questions. Couple of tips. First things, if it asks you for 2 examples of something, don't give 3 examples.
Accuracy
just,
is key
just give
here.
2 examples. Yeah. Have a look at the length of spacing that's left for the answer. So you see something and there's half a line left for the answer. That means that the examiner is just looking for 3 or 4 or 5 words. Don't be writing sentences or, you know, something going down the end of the page or the side of the page or please turn to page 12. You can be sure then if you're doing all of this writing, you've got the wrong answer. You're off the beam.
And you'll have a grumpy examiner in the back
of
their house correcting in August.
Not grumpy.
In the heat going, come on, get on with it. But yeah, the overachieving thing is a disease that afflicts every paper, I think.
Yeah,
and actually
yeah.
have confidence in your answer.
But do attempt the 6 questions.
Okay.
Do attempt, and
so
you
don't
will
leave
be marked,
a blank space.
And you'll be marked on the best 5 of them. Section B then is your experiments questions.
This is the
mandatory
activities. Mandatory that you're talking
there
about.
There are 22 mandatory activities. 3 of them will come up on the exam. And you have to answer 2 of them. Again, try and answer the 3 of them. Time-wise, you should be spending about 30 minutes on Section A, about 30 minutes on Section B, and that leaves 2 hours then for Section C, the long questions. And the long questions are the ones that you answer in the booklet. And for 4 questions, you should be spending 30 minutes on each of those. Now, some students, they say, I don't know how long to spend in part A, B or C. If you look on the side of each question, there are the marks for that particular part of the question. So part A might be 12 marks, part B might be 20 marks, and part C might be whatever it is, 18 marks, totaling up 60. A very simple rule of thumb, whatever number of marks are going for part of the question, divide that by 2, and that gives you the number of minutes you spend on that particular part of the question.
Ooh, so I like that. Give me that again. The number of marks.
There's 60 marks for each question
in
Section C. Look at the diagrams. There's a huge amount of marks go for the diagrams in the exam. Not only do marks go for the diagram, but marks also go for the labels in the diagram. So if you're asked to draw a diagram, a cross-section of a leaf, there could be anything up to 10 or 12 marks for the diagram. There could be anything up to another 8 marks for the labels. If it doesn't say how many labels to put in, students don't know, put in as many as you know. Make sure your diagram has a heading, you know, cross-section of a leaf. It has to have a heading. Do your diagrams in pencil. Things about diagrams, must have a heading, must be drawn in pencil, and must be large. They're the 3 things that you'll lose marks for. There are choice in the exam. In the long questions, you have to answer 4 from 6. That's not as good as in the old paper. But if you look at the last 2 questions, 14 and 15, you also have choice within that as well. So in questions 14 and 15, you answer 2 from ABC. So you've got a little bit of choice in that as well. So it's not too difficult.
6-0-6.
We're going to start doing our little question and answer session in a minute, but just for you, Terry, in terms of ordinary level students in biology, knowing what you've just told us, are there any other extra tips, any other extra things that ordinary level students should be aware of?
No, obviously it's easier than at the honours level. At the honours level, you're looking for kind of an interpretation. They might give you a graph, they'll ask you to draw a graph and interpret the graph and so on. Whereas at the pass level, it's more factual. What is, explain this, write an account on that. So that's really the difference between that. The course is fairly similar. Obviously, there are extra parts with more detail, the likes of photosynthesis and respiration. And again, when you look at the textbook, you should be able to tell the difference. What is the honours and what is the pass? As regards the experiments, I think there's only one experiment that's actually different from the honours to the pass. So the papers are set out very, very similar. Obviously, pink v blue. But the format is exactly the same, Section A, Section B and Section C. But students will be finished the pass paper, the ordinary level, quicker than they will at the honours level. But again, I'd say do those extra questions if you're looking for the points.
Biology question from Siobhan. Do you think there's a strong possibility that respiration will come up as a long question this year as it was photosynthesis last year? Also, do you think human reproduction will come up as a full long question? Thanks a million. Love the show.
Well, again, I don't know what's going to come up.
Because you don't have the paper.
I don't have the paper at all, exactly. But there would be a set number of topics that I would say will come up pretty much every year. And they would include things like photosynthesis, reproduction, human reproduction, genetics, ecology and microbiology. So I would say if you're looking for core topics, they would be the ones that I would be looking at. And human reproduction, yes, I would say definitely. It tends to come up quite a lot. So, you know, you might be asked to draw a diagram of the male or female reproductive system, or you may be given it and asked to answer questions on it or to label it. One came up last year on human reproduction, now that I think of it. It was, I think, section 15. It was one of the half questions. But photosynthesis, respiration, reproduction, human reproduction, genetics, ecology and microbiology. If I were trying to concentrate on core areas, they're the
last
areas.
Last chance saloon member.
Yes, so. Yeah. And then you were saying there, as to Michael, about, you know, leaving topics out. I would say, look, if you can't get a handle on some topic now, forget it.
Okay.
You know, when I was in school, it was genetics. I couldn't understand genetics. Crosses, I couldn't figure it out. So, you know, you're frustrating yourself. If you're going to try and spend a day trying to get the hang of genetics and cross, I'm going to say, leave it out. You know, leave out one. For other people, it might be respiration. For other people, it might be photosynthesis. Leave it out. Now, of course, you're cutting down your options. But the time that you would frustrate yourself with there, you can spend on other
parts. Friday before the exams, don't start on something that
you just can't get a handle on now at all. So in my case, it was genetics and I couldn't get it. In other people, there's lots of people out there that have something they just can't figure it out. Leave it out. Leave out
at
one.
At this point.
At this point. Yeah.
Okay.
6:06.
Hello. With regard to the two experiments, to investigate the effect of temperature on enzyme activity and to investigate the effect of heat, denaturing on enzyme activity, are they not the exact same? And if I'm asked how to test for ethanol and alcohol production, will a high diameter suffice, or must I describe the iodoform test?
Okay, there's a lot in that.
And as quickly as you can.
Okay, well, they are two separate experiments. To investigate the effect of temperature and enzyme activity, what you want to do is you want to have... keep it simple is what I would say for every experiment. The experiment I do there is I just use saliva because it contains the enzyme amylase and it acts on starch, and then we have some iodine on it so that it's a blue-black colour. And then vary the temperature. And when you vary the temperature, as the starch is broken down, the colour change appears. It goes back to being colourless. So that's just to show the effect of temperature and enzyme. So you would do it at maybe 4 degrees and 12 degrees and maybe 37 degrees, something like that. To denature it, what you have to do, first of all, is you have to kill the enzyme. So you do that by boiling the enzyme. So you take the saliva and you boil half of it first, and then the other half you don't boil. So they are actually two separate experiments, and if you look at the book, you'll find it. But I would say, you know, all the experiments in the textbooks are very, very technical, and you see in those experiments, like your enzyme activity, you're talking about catalases, and you're talking about hydrogen peroxide. Keep it simple, you know. The first thing I think is an enzyme. Okay, enzymes are in your body. So if I'm going to do it, I'm going to pick an enzyme that's in my body. What's the easiest one I can pick is saliva, spit, you know, fill that up there. Half fill that test tube with spit. Why? Because it's got the enzyme in it, the amylase in it. So keep all of the experiments simple. That's the first one. The test for alcohol, that was the second one you were looking for there. Yeah, there is that very, very long technical test. But what you can do, something very, very simple. You know, characteristic smell. What about its boiling point? 78 degrees. You've done that at the junior cert. So it's a colourless, it's got a very distinctive, smell. And also, it's flammable. And you know, at Christmas time, I'm sure, Evelyn, in your house, when you have the nice the pudding out. Do you do that in your house? Do your mummy use that?
I've yet to host a Christmas dinner.
Well, you know, the kindness of strangers.
But I'm with you.
And you know when you have the pudding and you flame it. And what do you put on top of the pudding?
Brandy.
And when you set it on fire, what do you know about it when it goes on fire? Come on, tell me. It goes blue. So there you are. There's another test for your alcohol.
6:06.
Biology. Mr. Flanagan. Let's see how well you really know your subject. What are the controls used in the enzyme experiments, as fast as you can?
The controls in the enzymes experiment. Do the experiment without putting in the enzyme, or do the experiment without putting... Just take one thing out. That's all you need to do for it.
Do you have to be able to draw the diagrams of the skin and the brain, Jane?
Okay, diagrams of the skin. I've never seen it being asked. I've never been seen a diagram asked to draw the skeleton or the skin. In diagrams like that, you'll be given the diagram and asked to label it.
Sarah, for biology, if you were to leave out the experiments, what would you need to get in Section A and Section C if you don't know the experiments well? Help her to bluff, basically, is what she's asking here, I think.
Well, guess at them. Guess at the answers, certainly. But if you don't know the experience, you're supposed to know
you'll
them.
You'll get points for the journey anyway.
Absolutely,
even if you
yeah.
Don't
you
know, the
and if it says,
right,
yeah, attempt every part of every question. Now, what colour was such and such? Guess. Don't leave it blank. If you leave it blank, you get nothing. If you guess, you've got a chance.
Okay, in biology is unit 1, 2 in the experiment, 60% of the exam.
Unit 1 is worth 100 marks out of 400. Unit 2 is worth 60 marks out of 400. And unit 3 is worth 240.
Okay.
Figures out. I think it's 100 is 25. So it's 25%, 15% and whatever the last.
Okay, so 35%, not 60%. Okay. My thanks to Michael Dorn from Belvedere College and the Institute and of Education, and Terry Flanagan from Moyle Park College as well. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. And as I said, hopefully, if you enjoy this evening, you'll accept our call next week. We'll be talking to you then. As I said, on Monday, we'll be looking at business and home economics. I'm off to have a nice weekend. You're not really going to have a great weekend because you're stuck in your bedroom. But you know what? Keep the faith. You'll be fine. And we'll talk to you on Monday.
6:06.